This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Arizona Party Rental and Cool Breeze Air Solutions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, places, events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
And the weather.
Well, and the weather, yeah. But we can't interview the weather, can we now?
No, but we could talk about it.
Yeah.
No, we can enjoy it.
No, somebody got really bent out of shape that we kept on saying how great of a day it was in the neighborhood. Remember back in the day?
Back in the day.
Yeah. So anyways, visit us at friendjeff.com. Follow us on...
Who was complaining about that?
What?
That we were enjoying the weather?
I'll have to go back.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah.
Stop talking about the wet weather. Get to the meat of the show.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Because we sit and burn hours and hours of
quality time.
Well, yeah, with our quality dialogue.
Yes. Someone came up to me the other day. It was quite remarkable that they came up to me the other day and said, you know, I love listening to your show. You guys really make me laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I am so glad that we could just bring just a small spark of joy to your life.
That's right. And that's all it is, a small spark. All right. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can even subscribe to this grand old tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and something called Pod Beyond Pod or something like that. Okay, Jeff, so...
You could also download the show online.
Yes.
At friendjeff.com.
Well, yeah, I already said go to friendjeff.com.
There you go.
So, okay. So, today...
Today.
...is day two of the Tucson Roller Derby Intrastate Conference. I know you love this.
Love it!
So, we're counting on the girls from Tucson...
Who won last night, Fred?
...to kick some Phoenix butt.
Do you know who won last night?
No, I don't.
Oh, interesting.
I had to go home early because I go to bed at like at 8.
You got your Geritol, right?
I forgot my Geritol.
Yeah.
And I couldn't last.
It must be tough being 50.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like being green, right?
I'm not. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm neither so green nor 50.
So the girls are playing today. Check them out. This is the last day of the conference.
Yes.
You sent me something,
my dear
brother.
Yes.
About show and tell. Play at playground. Bar and Lounge, The Poetics of Noise, Poetry, and Punk.
Pretty cool, huh?
Am I throwing you under the bus about this?
No, not at all. I remember emailing it to you. Unfortunately, I can't get online here in the studio.
Do you want a sheet of paper?
No. Well, you can go. You can go with it.
Well, poetry and punk rock. In this talk, English professor John somebody will take us on a tour of the downtown New York art world in 1960s and 70s.
Pretty cool, huh?
And that's at, that's going to be really cool. Playground Bar and Lounge downtown on East Congress. Now,
when and where?
You said where, December, but when? December 11th. The one I think you actually wanted to talk about happened last week.
Which was
on
that?
November 13th. It was the world premiere of a piece for live electronics and jazz trio.
Yes.
So this looks like it's...
But that's a series.
Well, it's part of the series.
Right.
It's the University of Arizona Confluence Center for Creative Inquiry is doing the series. So, and these are just a couple things coming up. Jeff.
Fred.
We need to start working on Team Ronstadt, Beads of Courage. Carrying a bead for Beads of Courage.
Right.
So.
Are you carrying a bead today?
Yes, I am.
All right. Nice work.
And the Roller Derby girls, carrying about 100 of them.
Sweet.
So we have, the gauntlet's been thrown down. And
so we're 10% the way to our goal.
Our goal is 1,000 people carrying a bead for sick, ill, medically challenged kids across the United States of America. And we're asking people to carry a bead for those kids, write down a little story about where you were carrying it, and send it in so the kids can enjoy your story and know that you're out there supporting them as they battle serious illnesses in their treatment plans.
You know, and I'd like to, along that line, I'd like to say thank you so much to Coach Rich Rodriguez and the University of Arizona Athletic Department for treating Larry, my little guy who's in treatment for leukemia. I'd like to say thank you to those guys for making his week last week just so memorable, culminating with his appearance on the Jumbotron at the football game on Saturday. You talk about a wish come true. That little guy got to meet all the football players, got to hang out with the coach, got to go to practice, to his radio show, his press conference. All the athletes signed a jersey for him. I mean, it was an amazing experience for a nine-year-old.
That is a great experience.
You know, he got to stand by the statue of Button Salmon at the end of the Wildcat Walk, and all the players high-fived him as they went in.
Oh, yeah, they just recently moved that.
Yeah, so it's by the north end zone. So,
yeah.
Again, I want to say thank you to the crew of the U of A football team. And, folks, I got to tell you, from one man's experience, we have absolutely one of the finest coaches in the country. Coach Rodriguez is an amazing, wonderful, caring man. He may be a tremendous football coach, but he's a better man. So thanks a lot, Coach. We really appreciate what you did for our son.
Very nice. So on that sweet note, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some really important issues, Jeff. I know we goof around a lot, but you know the holidays are coming up, and
I don't think we goof around enough.
Well, maybe not. But on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about some important stuff as we move into the holidays.
Yeah, so folks, stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Ooh, show and tell, just a game I play when I want to say I love you. Girl, so show me and tell me that you feel the same way too. Say it to baby. These are the hands that can't help reaching for you if you're anywhere inside.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is exactly right.
And you know, with all of the great things going on in our beautiful community, there are people who live in this city who have some real challenges. And what made me think about this is last week we were talking to Sister Joan Ridley from the Benedictine Monastery, and she had mentioned that November is sort of like the high water mark for prayer requests at the monastery, and it's a big Catholic thing that, you know, people are praying for their souls or the souls of their departed, and, you know. And
I don't think that's just a Catholic thing.
Well, but, I mean, us growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, we sort of were exposed to that a lot.
Right.
You know, people saying, I mean, every...
Prayer is a very powerful thing.
It is.
Regardless of your...
No, I'm not saying it's just Roman Catholic, but that's our experience growing up.
Right.
And, you know, people having masses said for family members, even years beyond when they actually died or when they're sick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a dear friend of mine, Mary Kay Lefevre, who works at Casa de la Luz as one of their volunteer chaplains, sent out a message to all of her friends, and I thought it was very timely, because as we enter the holiday season, you know, Thanksgiving coming up next week, Christmas, New Year. Yeah.
Thanksgiving's next week?
No, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, don't rush me.
Okay, yeah, it's the end of the month. So, I mean, all these things, and a lot of people get depressed. They start thinking about their family members and start really missing them.
Well, as opposed to thinking about what they're thankful for.
Well, yeah. So I thought it'd be great to have Mary Kay on, and Mary Kay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And talk about maybe, you know, getting some advice and some powerful opportunities to sit down and have tools as you work through the holidays.
Yeah, are we talking about coping skills?
I don't know.
Are we talking about coping skills?
Is that what they call it nowadays?
It's a buzzword.
I think it's a buzzword. Kind of getting through those holidays without... Well, I think it's going to be hard. If you've just lost somebody that you're very close to, or have suffered a major loss like a job loss, or any kind of loss that's really spun your world, the holidays are going to be challenging. And, Jeff, I like what you said, though, about being grateful. I think gratitude is a great practice that helps us get through a lot of the hard times. But holidays are specifically difficult, especially if it's the first time you're going through the holiday season without that special beloved, or without, you know,
a job,
yeah, that special job,
or relationship, or anything,
exactly
all sorts of lost things.
Breaking Bad ended. Does that count?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk later.
Not to make light of it, but because this is a very serious topic.
Absolutely.
And I'm always amazed that people who have nothing to complain about complain. So when someone who does feel a sense of loss truly is grasping for, you know, how do I get through the holidays?
Right, exactly.
Those are folks that we need to help them.
Exactly. And that is certainly something that I love to just try to tell folks who know someone who's lost a job, a beloved, or whatever, is please reach out to them, especially in this season. Invite them over, help them to cope, because chances are they are swimming in a sea of depression right now.
But doesn't it work both ways? Don't folks that are swimming in that sea of depression need to reach out as well?
Very good. Yes, studies have shown that when you are depressed, one of the surefire ways to help you get out of that is to do something for others. And one of the things I talk to my bereavement groups about is, you know, since the season's going to be hard, maybe you don't want to go to Thanksgiving dinner with your relatives because it's too hard. Your husband's not there. He's just passed. Maybe you want to help at a soup kitchen. Maybe you want to volunteer and do something, because it will help you get through that day, because that day is going to be filled with memories. And so my first thing that I really wanted to talk about with you guys is have a plan. You know, the one thing I do talk to people who are grieving, have a plan, and I mean any plan. So, Jeff, if I were to talk to you, I might say, okay, what's your plan for Christmas or Hanukkah or Thanksgiving? Do you have a plan?
Well, usually Hanukkah, I don't really do much for Hanukkah.
Okay.
Really? You don't?
No, not really.
I have a menorah.
I mean, I say happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends.
I have a
friends.
Dreidel for you with my...
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
all right.
Nice.
You can wrap that up and give it to me for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have, it's all about with us, because we have a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
We are right there on the cusp of believing in Santa Claus or not. So now we're playing all the mind games, and we're going to talk more about mind games later in the show with your children.
Okay.
But we're playing those mind games like, well, you know, if you don't believe in Santa Claus, maybe Santa Claus doesn't bring you anything. So then you've got your children saying, oh, yes, I believe in Santa Claus. By the way, can I get the DSU? But, yeah, you're right. You know, with a husband and a father of little kids, making those plans is easy because, you know, it's kind of all laid out for you.
You probably have a tradition, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first thing for folks who just lost somebody is that tradition is just thrown out the window, because whether it's grandma or your husband or your wife, there's an empty chair at that table. And how do you deal with it? A lot of folks... that's why I say have a plan. So a plan may be go ahead and try and do the tradition that you've done before, although that could be really difficult, and a lot of people just can't face that.
We have some friends, and they always have an empty chair at their table for those that they've lost.
That's beautiful.
Right.
See, now that's creating a new tradition, which I think is great for folks to cope with these seasonal holidays where traditions are so set in stone. Like, I always go to Cleveland to visit my folks or whatever it
really?
Is.
Really?
No, I don't.
I was going to say, who would go to Cleveland?
<I know. laughs>
They'll leave.
Mom, Dad, come to Tucson.
Yeah, really. That's what I'm saying. So create a new tradition. Everybody come to Tucson.
Right.
So there's two things. Have a plan, whether it's Jammy's binge-watching Breaking Bad.
Right.
And not feeling guilty about it. I think that's key. Or... create a new tradition, and that could be go out with your buddies and go, which I did with my dad after my mom passed. We started going to, for Thanksgiving dinner, we went out to restaurants.
Oh,
so
that's
we
wonderful.
Had a great time. I mean, we missed my mom, but creating that new tradition became really special for us. So that can be very powerful.
So you would say that one of the most important parts of that healing process is to allow yourself to create a new tradition without guilt.
Yes, yes.
Mom, are you listening?
You know,
just kidding.
McCoy's having conniption fits because his brother... my son, 16 years old. His older brother, who's 18, moved out at the beginning of school year. And he's like,
What do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? And like, my 18-year-old wants to bring his girlfriend to our traditional things. He's like, she can't come. That's just for us. And it's like, no, you have to relax. And
so loss could be not so much losing a family member
right.
to them passing away, but also that transition in
right.
life
right.
from living with mom and dad to moving into the dorm.
You got it. So any changes in your life, it is a loss. You're losing your son in a way, in a certain special way. But you can be welcoming somebody new into the family as well. So it's a double-edged sword, and people will feel all kinds of things. And my third whatever to help cope through the holidays is really...
Tip for
thank
coping.
Thank you. Tip for coping. Be gentle with yourself. Just take it easy. There are no shoulds. Guilt is not going to help. Just do what you need to do that will help you get through the holidays. And I love... a gratitude practice, going out there helping others, welcoming somebody new to the table, having a chair that's empty at the table to represent your beloved that's just passed.
That's awesome. So is there a place that you would recommend folks go to online to get more coping, more ideas for
Why?
Gratitude?
I'd love to tell you about Grief Recovery Tucson, which is my bereavement practice.
Okay.
And hopefully you could just go to griefrecovery.com. No, griefrecoverytucson.com.
Perfect.
And I'd be happy to help in any way I can.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks,
Thanks, Ricky.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, we got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back for more here on Fred and Jeff Show.
Country music singer. I've always been a real close family, but lately some of my kinfolk have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition.
The Fred Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Chukchon.
And we are celebrating the people, places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeff.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, where you can listen to old shows, download them, check out links to all of our favorite guests, which are all of them, and friends of the show, et cetera, et cetera. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this grand old tome of wisdom and entertainment.
And you know what's interesting, Fred?
On iTunes.
What's interesting is that we never run out of amazing people to talk to from our community.
Yeah, you know, that's a joke that you and I, you know, we laugh about. Back when we started the show almost 3 years ago.
Over 3 years
well,
ago.
Well, no, 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, this will never last. And we keep on dredging up, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not even dredging. I mean,
no.
The cream
we're
seems
still
to
on
keep
the low-lying fruit.
Right, right, right.
Still.
Right. Except for today, we had to dredge this one up. I'm just teasing.
Yeah, so with us is the venerable Dr. Kevin Lehman.
Not an icon? He's not an icon? I got to tell you, Doc. Okay. Fred says everybody that comes in here is a Tucson icon. Why?
How long has it been?
Okay,
since
so maybe
that?
I'm exaggerating a bit.
Yeah, because way, way back, I used to say that. Back in the old station, we used to say that.
Everyone was an icon.
Everyone was an icon.
And back then, few were.
One was. For sure.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Bob Shelton, I think.
Definitely icon.
Is
well, I'm a Republican. Let's get that straight.
Okay, there you have it.
Well, does that help your status as an icon or not?
I have no idea. They're beating up Republicans left and right, and President Pinocchio just continues to do his thing.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fred Jeff Show. We're talking about all the wonderful things, Tucson. So in the studio with us today is our favorite author today. Dr. Kevin Lehman.
The Ronstadt boys are lion dogs. That's a quote.
Well, you know, one of the things we thought would be amusing is to get your analysis of our shenanigans.
Yeah, well, your brother showed up late, and you want a tape, and you know, he's picking his
around.
Nose, having fun.
Now, who do you think's the older of the two of us?
Well, obviously. the man behind the board.
Fred. Now, why is that obvious?
Because he likes to get things going, and you like to fool around. And you're late, and he was on time.
But he's never on time.
Well, he was today.
This is true. This is true. This is true. All right. So I got to ask you.
If he's never on time, then he grew up with a critical-eyed mother, but I don't even want to go there.
Because you know Mom. So, and she's listening, too.
Oh, well.
She's our one listener.
Yes.
See, yeah, well, you guys ought to have T-shirts, first of all. Let's improve the show a little bit.
Okay.
And it ought to just be, I'm one of 10 of Fred and Jeff's listeners.
Okay, now.
That's what they ought to
as
say.
As being a long-term Tucsonan,
yeah.
You should know that Tom Hassey already did that.
Yes.
I'm not above
stealing Hassey's ideas. That's one of the best ideas Hassey ever had.
Yeah, I actually have one of those shirts.
And I've known Hassey for years, since we were at the university together years ago.
So Tom Hassey is an old radio guy, Jeff, if you don't remember.
I don't.
And he had a talk. This, I think John C. Scott actually started Tom Hassey.
He'd tell it like it was.
Oh, yeah.
Is.
And he would get on the air, and he owned the station. So like an hour, 2 hours a day, he'd get on and just rant. And at one point, he just started talking about how he only had 10 listeners, but he's just talking to his 10 listeners, and he had 10 shirts printed out that says, I'm one of Tom's 10 listeners, and I got one of the shirts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. We'll do that.
We only have one listener.
Well,
hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Well, Dad's back
this
somewhere,
This is the Fred Jeff Show.
Yeah.
So what did you guys drag me out of my comfort zone for today?
Two reasons, really.
What comfort zone?
Number one is I want to know the whole birth order thing.
Okay. That's easy.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, a guy named Alfred Adler is the guy who came up with it years ago. He was actually a colleague of Siggy Freud in Vienna, Austria. And Adler was the first to talk about striving for superiority. It's sort of like thinking back to when we were kids, we played King of the Hill or Queen of the Hill, and if you had a sand pile or a dirt pile, the idea was to be on top. And that competition spawned this whole idea of birth order. But years ago, I had the privilege of having as a major professor at the university a guy named Oscar Christensen. And I sort of had Oscar before everybody figured out how brilliant he was. And he taught me about everything I know. And he was talking about birth order one day in class, and he described the firstborn as reliable, conscientious, a list maker, a doer, you know, an achiever. And I thought, oh my goodness, he just described my sister, Sally, who was a children's pastor in a church and in charge of children's ministries. She puts newspaper under the cuckoo clock still to this day. And she married a dentist, and his motto was find the hole, drill the hole, fill the hole. Very exciting man, by the way. And then there was my brother, Jack, and they described the middle child as rough and tumble and big on friendship, loyalty, and all that, and a mediator, negotiator. And I said, boy, that fits my brother, Jack. And then he talked about the baby of the family, manipulative, social, outgoing, never met a stranger, comedian, you know, meets people well, water runs off their back pretty well. I thought, my goodness, he described the three of us. I'm going to learn more about this. So that goes back to the 60s. I wrote the birth order book in 1985. It was actually my fifth book, and the book before it has sold over a million copies. So it's interesting that Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours and Birth Order Book, I had back-to-back books that have gone well over a million copies. So it all goes back to the fact that the first two children in a family are night and day different. The original title on the book, when I had it bound with rubber bands and cardboard, was Abel Had It Coming. And the publisher said, you can't have a title like that, Lehman. I said, why not? It's got a nice family flavor to it. I like it. They said, well, we don't like that. So I said, well, fine. I threw a baby of the family temper tantrum. I said, you name it. So they sat around their oak table and came up with a provocative title, The Birth Order Book.
Well, the cool thing is that you stood on the shoulders of giants and monetized their ideas.
Run that by me one more time, Fred.
The look on your face, it's too bad this is radio, because, I mean, that's hilarious.
I just
want to
hear that again. Say that again.
You stood on the shoulders of giants and monetized their ideas.
Well, What's wrong with that?
No, you did it well.
Nothing. It was,
you
it's great.
Did it well.
I mean, the book is iconic.
Well,
I mean,
there you go. You love well, that word.
Finally yeah, got it out.
It's the book that, you know, when I go to New York, right now my book that's out right now is called Parenting Your Powerful Child. I do all the morning shows in New York, and I have to be careful when I'm doing the six-minute interview, or three-minute if it's Fox and Friends, that I don't mention birth order. Because if I do, the host finds that so overwhelmingly interesting that they'll go down the birth order track, and the publisher gets mad at me because I didn't talk about my book.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the way it is. Speaking of which, I'm signing books this today over at Barnes & Noble on Broadway. 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I speak about 15 minutes on Parenting the Powerful Child, parenting your powerful child, and then I'll sign books, and then we leave.
So let's talk about that. The powerful child. Yeah. I have two powerful children at home.
Well, then you have a powerful parent nearby, because kids don't just become powerful. They learn to be powerful, and parents are the power source. And if you're at all a traditional parent, you know, hey, you listen up. You're going to do what I tell you to do. You understand me? As long as you live under this roof. Hey, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to
come
cry
here,
about.
Come here, yeah.
If you're one of those parents, you will have a powerful child. And, I mean, there's kids shorter than a yardstick. They're in full control of adults today. It's crazy.
So what do you do when that powerful child starts entering into puberty?
Well, my first suggestion would be to FedEx them to a far-off land.
See, yeah, that's like my go-to solution right there.
Yeah.
FedEx the child away.
Yeah.
Where's grandma and grandpa?
Kids, yeah. Let me give you how old are your kids, Jeff?
All right. Our daughter Mia is 10 and our son Larry's 9.
All right. Well, first of all, let's talk about the 10-year-old. Close to the 11-year-old age, obviously. And to quote my lovely wife, Mrs. Uppington, who is the classy firstborn of the Lehman duo, she says the 11-year-old female is the worst creature walking the planet. And I remember coaching.
And mine will be 11 in February.
Oh, yeah. I remember coaching girls at that age, the middle school girls. Okay? I'll never forget this moment. And we went to a timeout, and my center came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, and this is a quote, number 22 scratched me. And I looked at her, and I said, what am I, your mother? Well, that was not the thing to say to an 11-year-old girl. She bolts to the locker room, and then my two other kids that could actually play basketball, of the five starters, I had three that could play and two sort of stood around. The three that could play are now adding comfort to one another in the locker room. I'm sitting there with two kids that don't know how to dribble, and the referee's in my face saying, hey, you need five.
You felt like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was a Hoosiers moment for sure. I couldn't say my team's on the floor, though.
On the floor.
But nevertheless, you know, they're different. And girls will use things like tears.
Oh, yes.
Drama to show you just how hurt they are. And as a former dean of students at the University of Arizona, we had 8 secretaries. I mean, I saw them in action as grown girls. You know, oh, I love your hair. Oh, it looks adorable. Woman would walk out of the office. Can you imagine having hair like that? It gets interesting. I've written books on this subject as well. Men and women are very different.
And so this, how to deal with your powerful child,
yeah,
especially when they're female and turn 11, that's in your new book.
Oh, yeah. You got to learn to rewire your home. You know, kids will say, first of all, let's start with this.
Rewire your home?
Yeah, yeah. Kids, because you're the power source, but kids kids are dumb as mud. Now, if you don't believe that.
I thought husbands were dumb as mud.
Well, we're not as dumb as women think we are.
We're not as
when we get our feelings hurt, most of us don't yell and scream. Most of us just withdraw
right. And
get under our turtle-like shell. But I want to make the point that kids are dumb as mud. Now, if you're offended by that, call your insurance agent and ask them this question. Why do I pay so much money for my 16 and 17-year-old to drive the car? And your insurance agent will say something to the effect of, because they're dumb as mud.
And we all know you should listen to your insurance agent.
Yes, we
know
Ronstadt
that. Insurance, yeah, 721-48.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
So, again, this isn't rocket science. We've reared 5 kids, and all 5 of the Lehman kids, I'm proud to say, are givers or not takers. But we didn't bring kids up to feel like they're the center of the universe either, as most parents do today.
Well, that's what I'm interested in, because the millennials, I guess, is what they're being called.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to deal with these guys.
A lot of them don't even want a car. Can you believe that? A lot of them do not want a, don't even want a car.
Hello, now, Fred.
How can that be? But that these kids are a little different today. We brought them up that when a kid strikes out at a Little League game, three straight pitches right over the plate, the little sucker doesn't even swing at one pitch, okay? He strikes out. What are the parents yelling behind the cage with? Great at bat, Matthew, great at bat. I got news for you, Matthew, you little loser. It was a lousy at bat. You didn't even swing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, all these kids are being told that their poop has no scent.
Oh, yeah.
And it's everything sorbet, they do is precious.
It's raspberry sorbet.
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
It's crazy.
Because our kids have got to learn how to fail. They have to learn how to cope with failing.
Well,
we keep letting them say, hey, you're doing a great job, even though they're getting all Fs.
You're interviewing a guy that graduated fourth in his class in high school, but it was fourth in the bottom and not fourth in the top. So I had a little failure in my life. I met my wife in the men's room at TMC when I was a janitor way back when, and she was a nurse's aide. So for those of us who have a little failure in their life, you know, if you look at those people who failed early in life, a lot of them go on to life and do pretty good things.
Yeah. We need to talk about that some more, but we got to take a break.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to talk about some strategies to deal with the millennials, but we got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well.
So, folks, stick around. We've got more here with our friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman, on The Fred and Jeff Show. We're all standing on the shoulders of giants.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronsted Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt up here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we've been burning some time here with a Tucson treasure, Dr. Kevin Lehman.
And a treasure, and I like treasure.
You like treasure better than
icon stuff.
Yeah. Well, Fred comes up with all treasure. Kinds of good.
Yeah, that's
good.
Thesaurus back
I
here.
I might come back here someday.
All right. So before the break, we're talking about the millennials, and I really, I mean, as a you know, an older person dealing with a lot of kids, you know, 19, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, how do you manage the millennial?
Well, it's interesting. They live in a different world than we do,
sure. It's like a virtual world.
And you don't get anywhere telling them what to do, that's for sure, okay?
Yeah, I've learned that.
They walk to a little different beat of the drummer. But I think sometimes with kids, especially kids who are low achievers, kids that could do it but don't, I think a parent's wise to sit down and say, you know something, see this 8x11 piece of paper or see this 8x11 computer screen? Somebody's going to make all kinds of judgments about who you are based upon what's on that one piece of paper or on that computer screen. And you really need time to sit back and chill and figure out what you're going to do in life. Because life is moving at warp speed, and there aren't jobs on every corner, and things are changing so quickly that if you're not prepared for this world we live in, you're going to be left in the dust.
Now, when you mean the one piece of paper, you're talking about a resume?
Well, yeah, grades. Yeah.
Grades.
Grades are important. I'm here to tell you. But, you know, I never asked five kids, do you have homework? I never asked the question. So I was never a micromanager of the kids. They all did well. I have a daughter who's a principal here in Tucson. The other daughter teaches kindergarten. My son, Kevin, is the executive producer and head writer at the Ellen Show in Burbank, California. My next daughter is a marketing manager in Chicago. Her husband's going to med school, and our youngest is in college and won an $80,000 scholarship out the door. Very talented kid. Well, how do you get five kids who all are achievers, who care about other people? Well, A, not giving them things, give them affirmation, give them love, give them boundaries, okay? And everybody in the Lehman family, we were a poor family. Well, I didn't have a car when I was a little kid. I mean, as a little kid, the family didn't have a car for quite some time. So, you know, I grew up Irish Catholic family, very poor, and yet I had mom and dad who had enough sense to rear us right. Well, today, kids view reward as their right.
Now, when you say don't give them things, you mean like don't give them PlayStations and Wii's and, I mean, what, define
we
things.
We overdo it. Why would a 9-year-old have a cell phone?
That's a great question.
I mean, we hurry kids along. We got kids in way too many activities. I mean, if you're American Airlines, it makes sense to outsource some of your work. We outsource our children. I mean, if someone knocks on your door tonight and said, hey, can I take your Toyota? Now, there's an American statement. Can I take your Toyota? Would you give it to them if you didn't know them? No. And why would you give them your kid? Parents are very flippant about kids overnighting at other people's houses. You tell me where the pedophile list is. I'd like to find it.
Yeah, oof.
I'd be real careful about where I let my kid go these days. And it means you got to stand up and be the parent you need to be. And people who like my books tell me they like it because it's down to earth and it's conversational and it makes sense. But if you want to make sure your child is happy, 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 happy at every turn, don't read a Lehman book. Because one of the best lines in the book, Have a New Kid by Friday, is this. An unhappy child is a healthy child. And there's times your son, your daughter, mom and dad, has to be unhappy. Why? Because they dissed you, they got their mouth going, they did something disrespectful, whatever.
And is that what Have a New Child by Friday is about?
It's part of it. It's a 5-day plan. In fact, Have a New Husband by Friday, Have a New Kid by Friday, Have a New Teenager by Friday, Have a New You by Friday. There's 4 of them in that series. They're all scams because, quite frankly, you could have a new husband by Wednesday, and you could have a new kid by Wednesday. It doesn't really take 5 days. About 48 hours, they'll catch on.
And what's the trick?
Buy the book.
Well, for women, for example, let's talk to women. I mean, your husband, do you realize he's a 4-year-old that shaves? Do you realize he has basic needs of needing to be wanted and needed by you? Respect is also a part of it, but wanted and needed is number 1 and 2. He has no friends, okay? He's got you. And then you had to have those, what do you call them?
Kids.
Children. Yeah, children. And then things went downhill from then on. The average marriage lasts 7 years. So when I go out and speak to groups about staying married and understanding that women lie like dogs, you have to understand this principle. If you're married to a woman, they lie like dogs. They don't mean to lie like dogs, but they do. Okay? So when my wife goes to Phoenix shopping, she spends the night, takes one of our daughters with her, her girlfriend. I always ask the question, honey, when will you be home? Oh, we'll be home early. Well, honey, just give me a time. I just want to know, I'm batching it tonight, or should I wait for you for dinner? Oh, I'll be home early. Well, honey, give me a time. I'll be home by 5. Now, as soon as she says 5, I add 5 hours to it.
Right.
Because I know my wife. To quote the greatest movie ever made, The Three Amigos, I know each of you like I know my own smell. And I know she's going to be home around 10 o'clock. When she comes in at 10 to 10, I don't say, hey, where you been? You said you'd be home at 5 o'clock. I say, honey, did you have a great time? Oh, yeah, I'm so tired. Can you help me? I got a bunch of stuff in the car. I'd be glad to. And then I go to the end of the bed as she's getting ready and just pray that something will happen. That went right over Fred's head.
No, Fred got it. No.
Did he get it?
Fred got it. I hope he got it. He's turning a little pink over there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm old, but you slow down sexually. I'm telling you, Fred, when you get my age, you slow down. We're down to 4 or 5 times a week now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here we are again on the Fred and Jeff Show, talking about the people that make Tucson amazing.
And we're talking to Dr. Kevin Lehman.
That's right.
And you wouldn't know what the limits were?
No limits. No, none at all.
We're having fun, aren't
we? I love the line earlier, find the hole, fill the hole, drill the hole.
Yeah.
And then build
the hole.
And then build the hole. Yeah.
That's what those dentists do. They're all firstborn children, by the way, most of them.
So my original question was, those you said that you could have a new wife, child, teenager in 2 days.
Yeah.
And am I to take from what you just shared with us?
Yeah, would you give me a glass of milk? No, I won't. Dan, you always get me a glass of milk. Honey, I don't feel like getting you a glass of milk right now. Dan, what is wrong? I'll tell you the truth, honey. I'm still unhappy about what happened about 20 minutes ago. Turn your back and walk away. Is that going to make the kid feel guilty? I hope so. I call it raking coals over your kid. In other words, it doesn't take long to turn a kid around. See, kids don't like it when mom and dad are unhappy.
No, they don't.
Let them know you're unhappy. And I'm telling you, I read these books and other people write on rearing children. I'll tell you, I know this sounds haughty or arrogant, but most of them make good kindling on a November evening. I mean, they are just so far out of touch with where we are or we should be with kids today.
I'll revisit what you were talking about a little bit earlier about, outsourcing your kids.
Yeah.
Because when Jeff and I were growing up, I don't think we were ever home. You know, once we became more mobile, had a car.
How old? Yeah, what, 16 or
16
you're mobile?
16 plus.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Even a couple years before that, I mean, we were always hanging out with our friends, you know, doing whatever things we were doing. And now, you know, my kids were older and I got divorced about 4 years ago. And they were about the same age that I was when I was, you know, going out and doing stuff. And I always told them, you know, we have our assigned time that we get to be with each other. But you're at an age where when I was your age, I was never home. I was out with my friends. I was enjoying, you know, life and getting to know all sorts of things. And I always gave them that freedom to do that. But now you're making me feel like a little...
But see, kids today, Fred, are not out playing with their friends. They cocoon. They're at home. And parents schedule play dates. When Moonhead Deitch and I grew up in Western New York State, we got up in the morning and we played. We played imaginary games. We played war games. We played cops and robbers. We were very creative, okay? But today, the social situation is you just don't let your kids run today for a lot of reasons, okay?
You mean run around outside?
Right. So now we have planned playtime, you know, play dates. The family is stressed beyond belief. 73% of women today who have kids under the age of 18 are working outside of the home. So she's bringing home the bacon, but she's also frying the bacon in most cases. So most women are doing double duty to begin with.
So the play date is kind of a function of, I can't be with you, but I want you to be in a safe place where I have a little bit of control. So I'm going to send you over to Johnny's house.
Well,
because I know.
Part of it is we don't have time. We don't have time for our kids because everybody's so busy.
But a minute ago, you talked about how you and your buddy grew up playing imagination games and running around and doing all that kind of stuff. You don't need to have a structured play date.
No, you don't.
To let your kids do that kind of stuff. You just got to take the iPad away from them.
That's right.
Or turn the TV off.
Right.
And then say, look, here's a box of Legos. Here's a deck of cards. Here's a piece of paper and
young
a bunch
kids,
of crayons.
Give them some boxes.
Yeah.
You know, go to Bash's and get some boxes and throw them down in front of three-year-olds and watch what happens. It's marvelous. You don't have to overdo it. But parents, as we get close to the Christmas season, I'm telling you, I want to make sure my kids have a great Christmas. They'll go in debt. You'll read stories. They're coming where parents are going to get a fist fight over getting a child a gift, you know.
Someone's going to get trampled on Black Friday.
It's crazy. So are things not so good in families? Absolutely. But parents are failing to take the lead they need to have in families, I think.
And how do we turn that around?
Well, by number one, not getting so busy yourself. Now, I defy you guys. You guys are an old Tucson family. Find a picture of me on the social pages of the Tucson newspaper. You won't find one. Because, see, we've made those choices early in life that we're not going to join every activity under the sun. I'm good at saying no. I'm very good at it. So we have our home. We have our church. We have a small group we belong to. And that's it.
You mean a philanthropic group or a group of friends?
No, a group through our church. We have small groups in our church. And we do that. And, but this Thanksgiving, guess what? All five children are home with the Lehmans. They want to be together. We're blessed to have a little place in New York that we hide out in the summertime. All the kids come.
So really the takeaway is simplify your life.
Simplify your life. Keep it simple, stupid. Really, this is not rocket science. There's nothing in a Lehman book that's rocket science. But giving your kid vitamin N is important. But giving him vitamin E is important, too, and that's encouragement.
Know and encourage.
Yeah.
That's a great lesson. Easier to say, tougher to do when you're sitting there in front of that kid.
You know, it keeps you balanced, and there's a balance beam. The authoritarian parenting that most of us in this room grew up with is passé. Mm-hmm. But now we have parents who say, Brittany, it's 8 p.m. Have you chosen to go to bed yet? Mm. I mean, it's crazy. You know, hey, would you turn that TV down? I'm trying to do your homework. I mean, you tell me. There's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. You know, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And folks, remember, Dr. Lima is going to be at the Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble on Broadway.
Broadway in
today.
About an hour.
Yeah.
And you'll be signing your new book, chatting with folks, giving some good insight as the holidays
1 approach. 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Show up at 1 o'clock. I'll speak for 15, 20 minutes, and we'll sign books, and we'll all go home.
Very good. And then you'll go and see if the Bills can rally one this week.
The poor Bills. They just have a struggle. Those Pittsburgh Steelers beat us up last week. So
yeah, we're kind of happy about that. But that's
we'll
you
see
know,
what happens.
Well,
yeah,
definitely. It'll be a good weekend. It has been a good weekend. Well thanks
nice
a lot for coming
you.
On.
Nice to be with you.
And thanks for what you do for the community, because I know you're out there talking to all kinds of groups and people, individuals, groups.
I do.
Really, really appreciate, you know, the strength of family that you bring to the community.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. All right, folks, another show in the bag. Yep, Fred, we got a $25 gift certificate to give away from our friends at PETA Jungle.
Yes, we do.
So why don't we come up with, Doc, do you have a good trivia question?
Yeah, name the book. Name the year the birth order book came out.
The year the birth order book came out. You could send, so the first person to send Fred an email to fred@fredandjeff.com, name of the year the birth order book came out, gets a $25 gift certificate to PETA Jungle. If you're second, you get a dozen roses from Mayfield's Florist.
Good enough.
All right.
I was actually going to add the roses to the winner of the PETA Jungle card if they added the line, Fred is the best. But we'll
throw in a $25 gift certificate to 1702 if they put in the line, Jeff's better than Fred. What else we got to give away?
That's it.
Oh, gee, we could come up with something else.
You know what? Let's give away some beads from Beads of Courage.
There you go.
If people agree to carry the beads and write a note to the kid that's going to eventually receive the bead, we'll send you out the carry beads.
Absolutely. So, folks, go out there, meet your neighbor, because that's what makes community a great thing and makes Tucson a great place to live. And we'll see you here next week on The Fred Jeff Show.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them.